Now, listeners may be aware that earlier this year, the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation asked News Poll to conduct a survey about attitudes to Indigenous issues and found most Australians don't believe they'll see an Indigenous Prime Minister in their lifetime. To talk about this a little bit further, I'm joined on the line by the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation, Andrew Penfold. Good morning to you, Andrew.
Good morning, Trevor. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks for coming on. To begin with, can you give us give the listeners a bit of a wrap on what the News Poll actually did find?
Yeah, so we were looking at, we run an education program for scholarships for Indigenous kids to attend some of the best schools and universities in the country, and we were looking at how we could scale up this work we're doing because we've had such great success rates. And part of looking at how we might scale that up was to actually understand attitudes amongst the Australian community to various Indigenous issues. And one of those we decided to be, nail it down to one very high-level question, which was, you know, putting aside all the views on, you know, the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous and everything else, and rather than drill down into statistics, to actually look at attitudes towards the very simple question of, do you think that in our lifetime we'll see an Aboriginal person reach the highest office in the land? And we were quite surprised to find that about two-thirds of Australians who were surveyed by News Poll didn't believe that this would happen in their lifetime. And it doesn't represent racism or prejudice, it simply represents the feeling, because we drill down into this, that the perception that just because there is such a big gap and so much disparity and inequality, and there is, you know, so many problems with education and employment and things like that, I think it was just an exasperation that people find that there is so many things being done, but so few instances of good news where people can see good outcomes and good results being achieved. So I think it was that was behind the two-thirds believing that they'll never see this Indigenous Prime Minister in our lifetime.
Andrew, what problems do you see with past government approaches to Indigenous education?
Well, I think I wouldn't single out any particular government because that would be unfair to any of them. But I think if you look at state and federal and territory governments right across the country, right across the political divide for the last 40 years, there's no doubt that we've had major policy failure. And, you know, it's not just me saying this. This is report after report after report, most of them commissioned by government departments themselves, just saying that essentially most of the money that's spent in this policy field is wasted. The results are very poor, dismal, appalling are words that they use, and the outcomes are very poor. And so people are just frustrated, I guess, both from, and this includes governments as well as non-government organisations, but frustrated that so much has been tried and so much money has been spent and so many things have been started and attempted, but it's very difficult to actually find results. And that's part of the reason why, you know, we're so pleased to have a program that really is showing results. And what we're trying to do through this campaign of the Indigenous Prime Minister campaign was to actually challenge that perception in the Australian community that it's all, you know, despair and hopeless and there's nothing working, to actually say that we've got a program that really is working. We've got really solid, unambiguous results, and we want to challenge that perception, and actually we believe we can see an Indigenous Prime Minister in our lifetime, and we've got the evidence to prove it.
So what are the Foundation's results compared to the national standard?
So we're really focusing on the Year 12 completion and transition to careers. And through our scholarships, the students who are on our scholarships, we've had about 500 students to date already on our scholarships. And we've got a retention and completion rate of over 90%. And of course, if you look at the national average for Year 12 completion in Australia for Indigenous students, it's around 50% compared to around 80% for non-Indigenous students. So there's a massive gap in the achievement of Year 12 completion. And what we know is that Year 12 completion is the really fundamental driver and predictor of future career and other success in one's life. Year 12 completion is a really strong indicator of future success. And so our program has got over 90% Year 12 retention and completion rates, And Federal Education Department statistics have shown us that this is actually the highest rate of completion of any federally funded program in Australia. So we're really pleased with that. And then the other aspect of that is that of the students who are completing Year 12, over 90% of them are then transitioning into successful careers or further study. So we have about half of our graduates at university and the other half roughly in employment and apprenticeships and traineeships. And so what we're really doing is saying careers and education need to go hand in hand. You can't sort of look at one without the other. And so we're really pleased to be able to invest in good education programs and scholarships to help kids finish school. But then we provide very strong support to them to help them make sure they can have a successful transition to a sustainable career, be that university or training, employment or apprenticeships, etc.
Andrew, I understand the foundation has adopted a number of private sector principles. Can you briefly run through them and let us know how that has affected your outcomes?
Yeah, so I guess by way of background, Trevor, my own background here was I spent 20 years in business in big international law firms and investment banks and finance and, you know, very significant transactions. And then I started doing this work on a voluntary basis about 10 years ago because I just felt very strongly that this was something that could work. And the way we approached it was to essentially think of how does the private sector, why does government policy fail and why does the private sector succeed? And I don't mean in social policy areas, but I mean just more generally. And we sort of adopted this sort of approach or mantra to our work, which is hard heads, soft hearts and capable hands. And we believe that if you have all three of those elements, then you're very likely to be able to achieve success. So the hard heads part is how do we bring really robust strategies and thinking and approaches from the private sector to address a social issue? And that's not to say we're trying to make profit out of the social issue. We're trying to bring business discipline and rigour to the way we approach it. And so that is that if you're going to address a long-term challenge, you want to make sure you've got a really long-term solution and a long-term plan and a long-term strategy. And so with that comes long-term funding. So if you actually look across the spectrum of programs, government programs in all fields, not just Indigenous policy, but in all fields, there is an overwhelming focus on 2 to 3 year funding cycles. And every time, you know, there's a new fashion or a new trend or a new minister or a new government or whatever it might be, that these things keep changing. And so there's this kind of endless pilots that are always happening. And there's this high level of cynicism and scepticism from the people on the ground who are actually supposed to be the ones benefiting from these programs, that all of these things just come and go. There's no long-term focus. And of course, if we're talking about addressing inequality in the Year 12 attainment rates between Indigenous and non-Indigenous children, we are obviously talking about a very long-term approach and a very long-term solution is required. So we actually set up a 20-year business plan, a 20-year strategy, and a 20-year funded business model. So what that means is we can operate our program for the next 20 years, regardless of what else happens in the economy or in the policy making or changes of governments and so on. So we've really got a long-term approach to that, and that's a very private sector thing to do. If you look at big businesses, they don't look in, you know, 1 or 2 year cycles. They look at how they're going to transform their business and how they're going to address the issues and challenges they're confronting over a period of 10, 20, 30 years. And that's really what the thinking that we think needs to be brought to this issue as well. I think the second one is if you look at the private sector approaches to anything, there is always a very unrelenting and uncompromising focus on results. It's, you know, business doesn't talk about how much money we spent on a problem. They don't talk about how many events we had and how much, you know, how many people participated in something. They talk about results. What are the outcomes of what we're doing? So we need to separate inputs and outputs from outcomes. Outcomes are the things that matter. Outcomes are the results. So if you're working in the area of Indigenous education, the outcomes aren't anything other than really how successfully are the students finishing school and getting a good education. That's what it's all about. So we've always adopted that as our single point of reference in terms of what we're trying to achieve, and we've been uncompromising and unrelenting in focusing on that result. So it's not about how much money we spend or how much money we distribute or how many kids we're reaching or how many workshops we hold. It's about how many kids are actually going to school and finishing school and getting a good education. And I think that there's too much focus on all of the other kind of fluff and not enough focus on that really hard, tangible outcome. Mm. And so that's the second thing we've brought. And I think the third thing we've brought from the private sector is just the whole idea of efficiency. You know, how do you design a program? How do you design program delivery and strategy to have a really strong focus on efficiency? So how do you get the maximum results from the minimum costs? How do you use your resources in a smart way? How to design your programs and activities in an efficient way so that you're getting maximum results for minimum spend? And so we've really got a very low cost approach to our work because of the way we've designed our programs. And I think all of those things bring us a very good sort of influences from the private sector to help us try and address this really national crisis.
Excellent. And just finally, getting back to the news poll analysis, it showed some interesting figures on the electorate and how it values Indigenous education policy.
Yeah, we were really amazed by this. This question news poll ran, as you may be aware, or your listeners may be aware, Trevor, news poll conduct regular political surveys about attitudes to voting intentions and what issues affect your voting intentions and so on. And so we asked them just to sort of add another question into that, and that was, you know, how much does the issue of Indigenous education affect your voting intentions? And nearly 4 in 10 said it was very important, and about a similar number said it was quite important. And when they analysed those results, News Poll actually found that about 74% of voters indicated that Indigenous education policy would affect the way that they vote. So we were really quite surprised by that. You know, if you look at the really big issues in elections, it's all around education and the economy and so on, where you're getting, you know, 70 to 80% of voters saying that those issues are very important to the way they vote. So to be getting up there where people actually are aware of the issue of Indigenous education and really feel committed to, you know, wanting to see things done, I think it sends a really good signal and a good reminder to politicians that they can't hide behind excuses that it's too hard and that there's no priority from the community in this area. The community want to see good, robust policies, and they want to see how the political parties are going to address Indigenous education, and obviously that leads to Indigenous employment and economic development and all of those other issues with life expectancy and everything else. And that's why education is such an important part of that, because it's really going upstream and dealing with things at the source so that people can have a good, successful life and a good trajectory from when they finish schooling.
Absolutely, and the Foundation is doing a wonderful job with that. I'm going to have to wrap it up there, but Andrew, thank you very much for your time on Koori Radio this morning.
Great, thanks Trevor, thanks for having me, it's a pleasure, thank you.
Okay, and that's Andrew Penfold. Listeners, the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Indigenous Education Foundation.